We begin our second session looking at how the creed opens. The Apostles' Creed opens with a powerful assertion. It begins confessing, "I believe." It's an assertion that's repeated two more times before the creed is done. We say, "I believe in God the Father Almighty." We say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." And we say, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Three times the creed asserts, "I believe." But what does it mean to believe? When we say, "I believe," what does that mean? How does that affect the way we live? I don't know if you were around town during the 2010 Winter Olympics. It's hard to believe that it was just a few years ago. But if you were around, you are likely familiar with the slogan that gripped the city. Whenever you turned on CTV, it was flashed across the screen, "Do you believe?" They've even started running this as the campaign for the London Olympics. Do you believe? And the city and the nation were challenged to become believers, to have faith in our athletes, to will them towards the podium, and to believe in a better world, to believe that a better world was possible. And this slogan gripped the nation, and I remember during the Olympics feeling as though I was part of something bigger than myself. It was quite an amazing time in the life of our city, and I think in the life of our nation. We felt as though we were part of something bigger than ourselves. And I think the creed does this. The creed is designed to be a profession of our faith that we don't make as individuals, but as we make it with one another, we're united in some way. We're drawn together. We realize we're part of something bigger. And throughout the Winter Olympics, I don't know if you heard Nicky Yanofsky's song, "I Believe." "I believe in the power that comes." Sorry, that's the only singing you'll ever hear me do. The song was this great anthem of "I Believe." And this evening, I want us to go through that song. And the lyrics are in your notes, or I encourage you, if you have the computer there, to just go to YouTube and type in Nicky Yanofsky and "I Believe," and you'll get the video. And I want you to work through the lyrics, to watch the video, read the lyrics, and when you're done, I want you to discuss this. What does this song make you think about the statement, "I believe"? What does this song make you think about the statement, "I believe"? Go ahead and try that. Well, I'm sure that there are many observations that you've made in relation to what it means to say, "I believe." When I read through this song, part of me felt like to say, "I believe" here is something of wishful thinking. I mean, it's a beautiful idea to believe that we can make a better world, that we can accomplish great things when we come together. But is this true? If we merely believe in something with our heads, does that make it a reality? I mean, we can believe all kinds of things, and believing in them doesn't make it true. And often in life, we say we believe in something, but it doesn't change the way we live. It doesn't affect the kind of person that we are. Is this what Christians mean when they read the Apostles' Creed? When they say, "I believe," is it merely wishful thinking? When they say, "I believe," is it something that they can say, "Well, these are things that belong in my head, but that they have no effect on the way that I live"? What do Christians mean when they confess, "I believe," in the Apostles' Creed? Well, I want to suggest that there are four things that shape our understanding of what we mean when we say, "I believe," in the Apostles' Creed. And so when Christians assert, and when we confess, "I believe," there are four things that are being asserted. And these are four things that I've drawn from, like I said, Alistair McGrath's book. This is what he writes about what it means to say, I believe. When we speak about believing in something, this faith that we're referring to means assent. That is, faith is believing that certain things are true. I believe assents to the existence of God. I believe that God is real, that he exists. And this, I think, is a necessary starting position. Our faith, or the statement, I believe that God exists, in some senses, that I believe that this is true, has to be our starting place. We must first come to terms with the existence of God before we can begin to ask the important questions like, who is God? What is God like? And so we begin with this posture of assent. I believe that what I am saying is true. And when we say we believe in God the Father Almighty, we confess that God is real. We take that to be the truth. Now, I think a lot could be said here about something we hear. Sometimes people will say, is your faith blind? Or do you have blind faith? And I think we could probably take a whole hour talking about that. But what I want to say here is that our faith is not blind. We believe in Jesus and we believe in God, not because we've checked our brains at the door, but because there is good reason to. And I think that faith, meaning assent, deals with that. It's this cerebral part of what it means to say, I believe in something. There's reason to believe that God is real. And that is the position that I'm taking. That's what I believe to be real and true. And so this particular piece of I believe functions in the realm of the mind. But there's more to it than that. Faith is not just about assenting to a particular proposition. Because secondly, faith means trust. To say, I believe in God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit is not merely a cerebral assertion, some proposition that functions only in the realm of our minds. Rather, faith in God is the response of our whole person to the person of God. Faith is saying yes to God. It's a decision. It's an act of will to trust in the one that we believe in. We don't just believe in something, rather we believe in someone. And I'm encouraging you to see the Apostles' Creed as not words on a page, but an opportunity to interact with the person of God. To say I believe is to trust that God is actually who he says he is. It's to trust that he will actually do what he says he will do. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to Hebrews chapter 12, the beginning of chapter 12, we see a good example of this kind of faith. The passage starts by saying, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then what follows is an account of all the great people of faith in the Bible. And what becomes clear in this chapter of Scripture is that to believe in God is to trust him with our future and to act as though we believe what he says he will do. Abraham was called to leave his home, to go to a strange land, and he went. When he said, I believe, he believed that God had a plan and a purpose for himself. It wasn't just a cerebral, yes, I believe you exist, God, but there was a level of trust that came. While we may not see God, we're living as though we do. Faith means to trust. I believe in God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit is to live as though we see him. There's a big difference between saying, I believe God forgives the sinful, and believing God forgives me, right? We can say, I believe God does these things. I believe that God will forgive you of your sins. But it's another thing to say, I believe God has forgiven me of my sins, right? I believe that God can heal, but I don't believe God can heal me. You know, it's harder to believe something for ourselves. The first of these, if we say, you know, I believe God forgives the sinful, but I have a hard time believing he forgives me. The first is belief in a proposition, right? The second is belief that presses into the proposition. We need to live as though we actually believe God is going to do what he says he will do. And in many respects, this part of belief is about moving belief from our head to our heart, right? Belief can't stay in our brain. It needs to take action by sinking into our heart. Now, I have a personal story that I hope illustrates the point that I'm making here. I find that when I get around my family, that is my parents and my older sister, I begin to act the way that I always did when I was a kid. I become quite childish and selfish and a little bit reserved with my own feelings. And for so long, this really bothered me. I would be one person when I was in my normal life, here with you and with my wife and my kids. But then when I was around my family, I was somebody different. And I didn't like this about myself. And part of me just resorted to feeling, well, this is just the way it's going to be. But then I realized that God promised to make me new. That he promised to change the person that I was. And I realized that he didn't just want to do this in my life. And I realized that he didn't just want to do this in my normal life, but he wanted to do this in my life with my family. And when I fully came to realize that Jesus wanted to refine and redeem and restore this area of my life, my whole attitude began to change. When I was around my family now, I didn't feel like I had to be placed in this role of being the youngest, selfish, self-absorbed Keith. I was free to be changed, that was God's heart for me, that he had new life even in this old place. I began to take hold of this promise that Jesus would make me new. And I found that my attitude began to change, that I was no longer content to be the old, sinful, and broken Keith, living out old, sinful, and broken patterns in that place in my life. But I grabbed hold of Jesus' new life for me. But it was only when I came to see that his promise was for me that it began to take shape in my life. See, for me, this is an example where to say I believe in God's promise is to trust that it has application in my own life. So I thought that maybe you could discuss something like this question. What areas in your life, do you find it hard to trust in God's promises? Are there any areas in your life that you're having a hard time believing that God wants to heal or restore or redeem? So, faith means commitment. This is the third point. We should remember that when the creed was first established, it was used in the baptism ceremony, right? To say, I believe, as a baptismal candidate, wasn't to say, this is what I believe, in the baptismal setting, saying, I believe, wasn't to say, this is what I believe about God. Rather, it was to stand up and say, that I believe in God, right? And so I think part of saying, I believe, isn't saying, these are the bits and pieces of what I believe, but rather I'm standing up as a commitment. I believe in God. I'm committing myself to God. It's a public declaration of where one's allegiance lies, right? My allegiance lies with Jesus. I believe in Jesus, right? To believe in God is to belong to him, right? Particularly when we understand how it functioned in the baptismal ceremony. This is what I believe. I believe in God, and I'm staking my claim with him. But faith also means obedience. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul talks about the link between faith and obedience. He describes his mission as one of calling the Gentiles into the obedience that comes from faith. Faith in God leads us to obedience. These two are always tied. And like I was saying before, and this connects a bit to the second point as well, when we believe in something, we respond. And the response is an obedience to the one that we believe in. It's a willingness to trust and obey the God who has called us to faith in him. To say, I believe, means we are committed to put our money where our mouth is, right? We're committed to live out what we believe. We're willing to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. James chapter 1, verse 22 and 24. It's a good one. James writes, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And there's also James, chapter 2, verse 14, if I can find it quick enough in here. James 2, 14 to 17 says this. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And what James is really drawing on in these two passages is that when we believe in something, we respond in obedience. We act. And so with these four points in mind, that faith is assent, it's this cerebral part, but faith is also about trust. It's the movement from the head to the heart. And that faith is about commitment, belonging to God, and also obeying God. What does it really mean then to say, I believe, in the Apostles' Creed? Well, when we say I believe, it's not merely about belief in God. It's about trusting him. It's about allowing him to take hold of us and transform us. Being people of faith is about recognizing in our minds who God is and what he's like, and then responding to him in our hearts in obedience. When Christians proclaim, I believe in God, they are not merely making this cerebral assertion. They're proclaiming a commitment to lean into God, to encounter the real person of God. They're committing to being shaped and changed by the one that they meet, the one that they profess. This is what it means to say, I believe. And they're not merely words on a page. See, saying that we believe God can transform our lives is one thing, but allowing him to do it is quite something different. That's where we need to go. Now, I want you to discuss this question. If Christian belief includes action, what does that look like in your life? Or if Christian belief includes action, what should that look like in the life of those who follow Jesus? Now, I want to close our time in prayer here, but I do want to give you just an opportunity to ask
a few questions, if you have any, before we finish up. Okay, well, one thing that we could have spoken about, and I don't feel the need to at this point, the one thing we didn't talk about is, where does doubt fit into all of this? And so maybe I'll just offer a quick comment on that. Sometimes as Christians, we feel like we should never doubt. You know, as we talk about, I believe. Well, maybe for some people, they might think, well, I'm not sure if I believe. There are times in our life where we have doubt, where we're not sure. And I want to reinforce, doubt itself is not sinful. But I would say what we do with that doubt can turn sinful. Right? I think that there are times when we're not sure because we're not God. Right? And there are times where we question the things that we believe. We question the things that we've known to be true. And sometimes we're like, well, I know I believe that, but I'm having a hard time with that. Those types of things are not sinful. But my encouragement to you is, we need to do something with that. We can't live in that place because we're not people of doubt. We're people of faith, right? And so as you experience doubt, that's something that you need to be praying into. It's something you should be talking about with your Christian friends. It's something you should be praying about. It's something you should be investigating and reading. And so I just say that to round things out as we talk about, I believe. There may be some people sitting there thinking, well, I'm not sure if I believe. And so much more could be said about that, but I just want to offer that to you.
And with all this in mind about what it means to say, I believe, why don't you end your time by reciting the creed together and then spending some time praying for one another, that you might become people who capture the full meaning of what it means to say that we believe in God the Father, in God the Son, Jesus, and in God the Holy Spirit.